Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on antibiotics when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs have now been reduced to dependence, incompetence, incapacity, and we have now been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions in our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs and doctors to manage and treat our health problems and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans who were once able to catch our own fish learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid professionals. Regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, write to the law school. You can get our free general law CD package in the process. You write to us by an email. Just go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about antibiotic resistance. We started the discussion or the report here with a report from Iraq concerning a superbug called Acinetobacter baumannii, spelled A-C-I-N-E-T-O-B-A-C-T-E-R-B-A-U-M-A-N-N-I-I. It means nothing to us plumbers, but I just thought I'd spell it out for you and tell you that this is a killer. It's a bacteria that has become immune to or resistant to antibiotics. Now, you've heard the story in the past that antibiotics are being overused. We've heard that for the last 50 years. But now it's getting to a crisis proportion. There are diseases now that are killing up to 100,000 people a year by use of these antibiotic-resistant bugs or diseases. And the diseases that are afflicting us, like E. coli, for instance, you know, you go down to the hamburger stand and you buy a hamburger and it's tainted with E. coli. Now, we can't clean up the meatpacking industry. I mean, we can't have clean meat. That's preposterous. Forget that. What we need to do is irradiate the meat, kill the bacteria. We got dirty meat filled with bacteria. Let's irradiate it. That's what we did to the milk. See, we couldn't clean up the milk. Let's not sell clean milk. Let's sell dirty milk, but let's pasteurize it so that it kills the pathogens that are in the milk. Now, unfortunately, we don't kill all the pathogens all the time. So occasionally you go down and eat an undercooked hamburger and it's got E. coli, or you buy some chicken, you know, and you put it on the counter and you're doing the lettuce in the kitchen, and pretty soon you get food poisoning. Now, nobody tells you about this food poisoning and how many people every year die from food poisoning. It's around 400,000 that get food poisoning every year in the United States. And out of that, there's about 9,000 that actually die from it. Not a great number of people, but you know, you go to the supermarket, you buy a chicken, you bring it home. You didn't expect it to kill you. Now, actually, it's not the E. coli that's killing you. It's your weakened immune system, and your immune system is weakened by the overuse of these antibiotics. It's other things in addition to that, but that's one of the causes. So we use the antibiotics, this ace up our sleeve, to such a degree, or I should say we overuse it to such a degree, that we've now bred out and created these superbugs, and these superbugs now are killing us. And I said, you got to have a solution to that problem. So I pointed out that there are healing oils of the Bible that these bacteria are never immune to. Antibiotics they can develop resistance to, but they never develop resistance to the healing oils of the Bible. They never develop resistance to colloidal silver, raw garlic, colostrum, or the healing herbs. And that's because God has designed a modality or a methodology for you to follow when you get sick. And it's described in the Bible. Preachers don't use it and they don't teach it because I don't think they even know about it. I don't think they learn that in seminary. The doctors don't know it and they don't learn that in medical school. It's not a part of their protocols. It's not a part of their income-producing profession. But in the Bible, God, who is the designer of your body, gave you an immune system and then showed you how to take care of it. And there's a couple of others that we ought to add to this. Sanitation is spoken of very highly in the scripture. Keep clean is a very important principle in biblical law. And quarantine, if you wanted to know where quarantine comes from, it comes from the Bible. Moses gave it to us first to the Israelites out at Mount Sinai. He got it from God long before anybody had ever seen a germ or a virus, before they even dreamed that these little critters were even running around out there. We got an instruction to put a gauze cloth or a cloth over your lip, your upper lip, your mouth, and to take people who were sick and put them outside the camp. So we knew about the drug theory in the Bible thousands of years ago. And let me show you how important this is. There's one country in the world that uses quarantine in its fight against AIDS, Cuba. Don't ask me why, I'm just reporting. Cuba. They have the lowest incidence of HIV infection in the world, and they're the only country in the world that uses quarantine, and quarantine comes from the Bible. We don't even use quarantine in the United States anymore. It's still on some law books. I've seen quarantine here in Missouri, for instance. There's a protocol for it, but we don't use it. Now, that being the case, there is a solution to the problem, and the purpose for this report is to give you the edge, and that is when antibiotics fail, which they certainly will. Antibiotics are in the process of failing now, and they're going to fail, and they are failing in this country to the tune of about 100,000 people a year. Worldwide, I don't have a number, but I would guesstimate that probably you people in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, and Western Europe have the same problem with the overuse, maybe not as bad, but at least the overuse of antibiotics. Now, in this country, we use antibiotics as a prophylactic. That is, we feed it to our livestock to prevent them from getting sick. And the most likely place for these germ resistant, that is, these antibiotic resistant germs to develop is in your local hospital. That's where they come from. And since 37 million people a year are hospitalized here in the United States, those people are all exposed to one degree or another to these super strains of bacteria. It doesn't come just from Flo's Whorehouse. It also comes from your local hospital, the local temple. Now, there's a thing called plague. You ever heard that word plague, P-L-A-G-U-E? Here's an article here from NewsWise dealing with antibiotic resistance in plague. And a small piece of DNA which helps bacteria commonly found in the United States meat and poultry industry resist several antibiotics has also been found in the plague bacillus Yersinia pestis gene sequence researchers report. Now, I never heard of this thing called bacillus Yersinia pestis, and you probably haven't either. But there's a plague out there. It's kind of like bubonic plague. And this thing kills a bunch of people. Let me give you the report here. This comes from www.newswise.com. And it's entitled Antibiotic Resistance in Plague. And the ability to resist many of the antibiotics used against plague has been found so far in only a single case of the disease in Madagascar. But because the same ability is present in other kinds of bacteria from a broad range of livestock, antibiotic resistance could potentially spread to other Y. pestis and also other bacterial pathogens. And in a paper published March 21st in the New London New Journal PLOS-1, the authors say this possibility represents a significant public health concern. Genetic ability to disable antibiotics, including a multi-drug resistant sequence, is carried on plasmids. These are small circles of DNA that are passed easily between bacteria. In this study, the same MDR plasmids found in the Y. pestis from Madagascar are also present in bacteria such as Salmonella and Escherichia coli found in retail samples of beef, pork, chicken, and turkey from several U.S. states. Now remember that the Salmonella now is a common pathogen, and this E. coli is a common pathogen. We have it in our meat, milk, butter, and eggs. Now what we've done is revealed a mechanism for the acquisition of multi-drug resistance in Y. pestis, and obviously this is an event that might have serious human health consequences. But the sequencing work we've done has given us a way to monitor this plasmid in the future, says senior author Jacques Revelle of the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland. The fact that we found a plasmid usually found in Salmonella in Y. pestis is a big problem. It also raises a question about how this happened, how it went from one to the other, but that's a question we cannot answer in this paper. He urges a new monitoring program to track the MDR in Y. pestis. The reason they're so concerned is that this mechanism I reported to you, I think, last program, is one of three ways that these bacteria mutate and develop this resistance. There's three ways for these critters to develop this resistance, and we went through that, and they reported it to us. That's a technical problem. For you and I, the local Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife down here on the street, the mere fact that antibiotics, which we have always relied upon in this country to save us from tuberculosis, to save us from gonorrhea and syphilis that we got down at Flo's, is now being taken away. It's the mainstay of medicine. Without it, medicine as we know it is dead, D-E-D, dead on arrival. That's the bottom line. When that happens and you develop this Y. pestis plague, you don't have weeks or months to figure out some new solution like you do with AIDS. See, when somebody comes down with AIDS, he doesn't die in a week like the young Marine that I reported on at the beginning of this series. He died in about 1 week from the time the symptoms overwhelmed his immune system. His death certificate does not say that he died from this disease. His death certificate says he died from his war wounds, which isn't true. And the same thing happens when you die from one of these penicillin or antibiotic resistant diseases. Nobody's going to say that you died from E. coli infection, which was antibiotic resistant. You're going to get sick, and you're going to develop pneumonia or meningitis or some other disease, and you're going to die from it. And your death certificate is going to say, well, the guy died from pneumonia. Nobody goes to the next step and asks, well, what caused the pneumonia? Where'd that come from? Nobody's going to say, well, because this guy had so much penicillin put into his body over the course of his lifetime because he was eating meat, milk, butter, and eggs, which are the normal mainstays of American diet. Nobody's going to go into or ask that. Nobody's ever going to go to the cause, the root cause of what caused your death. And you don't have a whole lot of time to figure it out. So the purpose for the series of programs is to alert you to these eight other alternatives that you have available to you to solve your disease problem. When the doctor can't cure you, you can cure yourself. In fact, you'd be better off doing it yourself and staying away from the doctor, stay away from the hospitals. These people are disease packers. Remember the healing oils of the Bible. There are, oh shucks, how many healing oils are there? I've got a kit upstairs, and I think if I remember right, there's oh shucks, more than 100. So I'm just going to put down 100 there. There's more than 100. Now these healing oils, many of them, not all, but many of them are antibactericides. They kill bacteria just like antibiotics do. And nobody pays any attention to it because, of course, these healing oils come from the Bible. But let me remind you that I put on a series of programs called Essential Oils on October the 15th is when the series started of 06. If you go back in our archives, there is a series of programs that deal with essential oils and where you can buy one of these essential oil kits, where you can get the book on essential oils. God, your creator, designed essential oils in place of antibiotics. He developed and gave you essential oils before antibiotics were even thought of. Antibiotics, compared to the essential oils of the Bible, don't even play a respectable second place. They're not even on the radar screen. Now, of course, in our society, we have learned to depend upon antibiotics, and I pointed out to you that I've had pneumonia 3 times in my lifetime. All 3 times we used penicillin. All 3 times the penicillin knocked it out. It wasn't the best solution to my pneumonia problem, but it worked, and it's what we depend on. And if it works and we depend on it, even though it's fourth best solution to the problem, shucks, fourth best works, fourth best solved my problem. Maybe there was a first, second, and third best, but I didn't know about them. So I wanted to point that out to you. Now, these healing oil kits and the book that goes with it will be explained in detail in the Essential Oils series. Now, there's a second one over here called Natural Cures. I just put this on here recently, 3/11/07. That's March 11th of this year, called Natural Cures. And then the fellow that put out the book over here, pointed out 45 known natural cures for 45 common diseases. Some of them degenerative diseases, you know, like cancer and diabetes, as an illustration. But when we get into the infectious diseases, there are natural cures. Your old grandmother knew how to treat, before antibiotics were developed, she knew how to treat infectious disease. Maybe it wasn't as good as penicillin. And maybe it wasn't as good as healing oils of the Bible. But there's another little trick over here. Let me give you this called colloidal silver. Remember that colloidal silver trick? Silver, when it's in a colloidal form, that is, you put this silver into a container of water and you hook a couple of electrodes to it. And you can actually see the silver ions coming off of the silver bar, kind of like soap disintegrating, you know, into clear water. This colloidal silver actually goes into the water. It becomes invisible, but it kills bacteria on contact. It's a bactericide. And the old-timers, when they wanted to keep milk, you know, from going bad, they'd put a silver dollar into a gallon of milk. And even at room temperature, it'll keep it for an extra day. So there's a bactericide to this thing called colloidal silver. You can get a colloidal silver generator for about, I think they're $35, something like that. Make your own. You can buy it. When you buy it, though, they kind of charge you an arm and a leg. It's a little pricey when you go to buy it at the health food store. But, you know, you can buy the stuff if you don't want to make it. If you're cheapskate like I am, you know, you buy one of these silver generators. And so I've got two of these aces up my sleeve. I've got healing oils of the Bible. I've got one of those kits, and I've got colloidal silver. Let's try raw garlic. And I'm going to emphasize the word raw, R-A-W, raw. If this garlic is cooked, it is as useless as the proverbial breasts on a boar hog. Taint there. It's got to be raw. Now, if you have a problem taking raw garlic like I do, what you do is you chop it up very fine. Chop it up real fine. And you can actually put this stuff in the blender if you want to, and blend it into something. Now garlic has a god awful taste to it. Now you know it's pretty good when you stick it in a roast. It's a pretty good spice. It's a good herb. People like it. What they don't understand is that raw garlic is a bactericide. I mean, it is an antibiotic oven by itself. It is a natural antibiotic. People that eat a lot of garlic have a little better health than the rest of us. They stink a little bad. But then that's a small price to pay, you know, for life, it would seem like to me. So tuck that one away, raw garlic. You can get it anywhere. And one's as good as another. Buy it down there at Kroger's. One of the few things that you'll find in Kroger's or Safeway that's probably fit for human consumption would be garlic. Now take that garlic, chop it up real fine, stick it in something, and then eat it with something. But make sure you get it into you, because the enzymes and the active ingredients that are in the garlic is what you need to kill the bugs. How much garlic do you take? Well, I take a couple of 3 cloves of garlic a day while I was sick or while I was displaying any symptoms, especially if you come down with something like this plague. Colostrum is an enhancer. That's an immune system enhancer. In fact, if you take a newborn calf, as soon as he's born, take him off of his mother, he'll die. And in any event, if you can keep him alive, which in some cases you can with antibiotics, he will always be sick and unthrifty. He has to have that first milk called colostrum. So what we do is we leave the calf on the cow for the first day, sometimes two, and that calf then takes the colostrum in, which develops its immune system. It's an immune system enhancer. And this colostrum, which is kind of a thick milk, has all kinds of neat thingies in it. God designed it so that it's got all these neat thingies in it. We don't even know what the hell all these thingies are. We've discovered 106 at last count, and there's many more that we haven't put names on yet. Just goes to show you how smart we are. So all you young mothers out there, go down and buy Similac or some other formula that's got 12 vitamins and minerals. Hell, ladies, your own breast milk has 106 thingies in it. All of them are essential to your baby's health, and there's more we haven't even named yet. Seems like to me God made a better product, but then, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success with Similac. All right, now, colostrum then, there's a little book over here, and I did a series on colostrum. I don't remember the date now, but if you look up colostrum on our webpage, in our archives, I think you'll find that series of programs. Now, there's a book I want to put in here in addition to that, which is called The Utter Truth About Colostrum. Colostrum is nature's own rejuvenation formula for the immune system, so says Steve Orleans, M.D., and he's not just whistling Dixie. I want to tell you that's exactly true. Now, colostrum is a little more difficult for you to come up with. They sell it in health food stores, and it's pretty pricey. Colostrum, bovine colostrum. Here, when I have a cow come fresh, I take the first milk. You know, you get a gallon of it or so. I put it in pint jars and stick it in the freezer. I use it for my own cows, and I use it for my own family. And it rebuilds your immune system. It strengthens your immune system. If you've got an immune deficiency over here, colostrum is the food that you want. Now, there's one more. We'll get this address down. I'll put it out here a couple of times. The guy's name is William Frazier, P.O. Box 1550, Lake City, Florida, 32056. That's Lake City, Florida, 32056, P.O. Box 1550. The guy's name is Bill Frazier. The Utter Truth About Colostrum, the price is $10. I would guess that that's the only place you're going to find this. It might be out there in Barnes & Noble. It came across my desk the other day. People buy me books, and they put them on my desk, and then I read them, and then I review them. This one here is especially important, about 100 pages, and this is a little booklet. And it's especially important for rebuilding or building, depending upon building your immune system. Now remember, your immune system is your number one defense. That's the one thing that has to be functioning to cure disease. Penicillin does not cure disease. Your immune system does it each and every time. Without your immune system, you're dead on arrival. But there's a second guy over here. You want to get this one. It's free. It's Dr. Schultz's catalog. It's about 70 pages or so. Schultz, S-C-H-U-L-Z-E. S-C-H-U-L-Z-E, Dr. Schultz, he's out in Los Angeles, and he's got a number, it's 1-800-HERB-DOC, it's an easy one, 1-800-HERB-DOC. Now, if you can't translate that, the phone number is 1-800-437-2362, that's 1-800-437-2362. What you want is this catalog so that you can get the get a source of herbs. Now, keep this in mind, these herbs have to be organic. For instance, we got some Indian black salve in here one time, it didn't work. Now, Indian black salve always works, and it's worked here for years. The Indians, you know, have been using it for hundreds of years and thousands maybe. But anyway, we got some here, and it didn't work. So the next thing we had to figure out is what happened over here, and the blood root in the formula had been irradiated. And that's what they're doing with a lot of these herbs that are coming in from India and China and various places. And Schultz points this out. Schultz does not get his herbs from outside the United States. He pays a premium. He gets his herbs here, and he makes sure they're all organic. That's one of the things I like about Schultz. Anyway, once this stuff is irradiated, it's dead. It kills the enzymes. Once the enzymes are dead, the herb is useless. It's just cooked food. That's all you get. Same thing is true with that irradiated meat. You know, once they run that through that irradiation, yeah, it's still edible. I don't deny it. Yeah, it still tastes good, but the enzymes in it are dead. Now, what are you going to do with that? the food value is dead. It's just more dead food. And it's living food that builds your immune system, not dead food. All right, now add to that sanitation and quarantines. Now we got healing oils of the Bible, colloidal silver, raw garlic, colostrum, healing herbs. They all work on your immune system. Your immune system is number one. Now, sanitation. If you could avoid these germs, it would be a big step in the right direction, wouldn't it? I mean, just think about it for a minute. Not everybody is infected with these disease pathogens. Now, when you run across somebody that is, you know, let's try the Coke bottle trick. You know, somebody's drinking out of a Coke, and he passes it to you, and you take a drink, and you pass it on to Tom, who takes a drink. You know, when you were a kid, you passed the bottle around, didn't you? All right, now, everybody's mouth that touches the bottle has saliva on it, and the saliva has germs. So whatever germs somebody has, they're sharing with everybody else. I mentioned that a little earlier. You know, you go to a party. Some guy comes in, he's sneezing and hacking and whacking, and so he's spreading his disease germs all over the party. But and you know, suppose you come down with the disease. Okay, you blame this guy, and you say, well, this guy gave me his cold. This guy gave me his flu. He didn't do any such thing. He facilitated your own immune system, which has been weakened. And because your immune system is weakened, he facilitated your sickness by spreading those disease germs to you. If your immune system had been working up to snub, it would have simply taken the bacteria in and killed them all, which is what your immune system is designed to do. Keep in mind that when somebody comes into the party and spreads his disease germs around to everybody, everybody gets equal access to the germs, but not everybody at the party gets sick. Not everybody comes down with the malady. That's because their immune systems are working. But if you could stay away from those germs, you know, as best you can. So when we go out to a restaurant, we take that hand cleaner. I don't know the name of it, but it's a hand cleaner. And then when somebody does get sick, quarantine the sick person. And if they won't quarantine themselves, then you quarantine yourself from them. Stay away from sick people. That's the biblical injunction. Now you got 8 solutions here to your problem. Healing oils of the Bible, colloidal silver, raw garlic, colostrum, healing herbs, your immune system, sanitation, and quarantine. Don't have anything to do with antibiotics. Now, if you still want to use the antibiotics, keep the antibiotic up your sleeve like an ace. All right, now let me give you a mid-course reminder here that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, now, one more little thingy here I have to tell you, and that is that the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend will necessarily reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our webpage is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about antibiotic resistance. Antibiotic resistance. How big a problem is this antibiotic resistance? A 5-page report that comes from, get this one down, the Why Files. It's called WHYFILES.org. WhyFiles.org. How big a problem? Well, what happened to antibiotics, which were once considered the universal answer to infectious disease? We now know the effective lifespan of these once miraculous drugs is limited. The problem simply is that we got complacent, says Barry Creasworth of the Public Health Research Institute, who makes a living analyzing strains of tuberculosis that resist as many as 9 antibiotics. So I underlined 9 antibiotics. Now, TB strains, I don't know how many antibiotics there are, but there is a limited number. There's a finite number. I don't know if it's 25, 35, 52, 61, 119, but whatever there is, there's a limited number, and there's a limited a number that can be created or produced. It's not infinite. It's not like the stars of the heavens. There's a finite number that you can develop. Now, we've developed about as many as we can think of, and there's still 2 left, last time I saw a report, 2 left that are still good against just about everything. Well, everything against, except for about 4 or 5 of these superbugs. And that's what the purpose of our report is, to report to you that there are some disease strains out here that no antibiotic will touch. And that's what's causing the great concern in the American Medical Association, because antibiotics is the mainstay of American medicine. Without it, they're dead in the water. Now, there's a limited lifespan to these antibiotics. As soon as all of the pathogens out there become immune to it, and they're developing immunity to these antibiotics very rapidly. And once that reaches its culmination point, whatever that is or wherever that is, and antibiotics are of no further value, medicine as we know it, you know, the allopathic medicine, you know, Dr. Kildare, or, you know, Dr. Marcus Welby, MD, Mercy Medical Center, is dead. It's dead on arrival. Now, that's the bad news. Now, the good news is that, you know, long before penicillin was ever invented, there were the natural healing oils of the Bible, colloidal silver, colostrum, healing herbs, raw garlic, your immune system, sanitation, and quarantine. They've been around for thousands of years. And it is the prescribed modality that comes from God himself. So what I would suggest is that you get it in your head that you're going to have to go back to the original protocols from Mount Sinai and the Garden of Eden and go back to what worked and forget about penicillin, because it's not going to work forever. So they go on to say that it's not just TB. It's not just TB. The global increase in resistance to antimicrobial drugs, including the emergence of bacterial strains that are resistant to all available antibacterial agents. I underlined that. Including the emergence of bacterial strains that are resistant to all. Resistant to all. Did you get that? To all available antibacterial agents. It has created a public health problem of potentially crisis proportions. And that's the word from the American Medical Association, also known in this country as the AMA, which studied the issue in 1995 and seldom fulminates. I like that. Fulminates. And then they put a little parenthesis word, defined. Well, if it means defined, and we all know what defined is, and you had to translate the word, why don't you forget fulminates and put in defined in such alarmist terms? Alarmist. They use the word alarmist, so I underlined it twice. The AMA is becoming alarmist. Well, I guess it makes all the sense in the world if you stop to think about it. The mainstay of American medicine, and indeed I would say allopathic medicine worldwide, is penicillin. It's antibiotics. And it is the rug is being jerked out from under them. You know, I guess that's why they've become a little alarmist. Now, if the AMA is getting alarmist, I thought I would share that with you, that your local doctor down here, he's getting concerned, because the thing that he needs is something to sell, and what he's selling isn't going to work. And when the word gets out that it doesn't work, you know, by that time you'll be dead. Now, when I started this series, now I started off with a young man by the name of Gadsden, who was a Marine who was blown up in Iraq. He survived his war wounds, but when he got home, he had an antibiotic germ, which was resistant to antibiotics, this germ was, and it killed him. And his death certificate says he died of his war wounds. He did not die of his war wounds. He died of an antibiotic-resistant germ. That's what he died from. Now, he could have been saved had he used the healing oils of the Bible or colloidal silver or raw garlic or colostrum or healing herbs, or had they practiced sanitation and quarantine, they might have saved him, or a combination of any or all of the above 8. I would do all 8. And here at the law school, we're prepared to do all 8. When we get sick here, you know, we go right to work by using all of the available protocols that we have available. When you develop bubonic plague or pneumonic plague, you don't have weeks. You have maybe hours and at best days. When Ebola strikes, I think you have less than 72 hours until you die. In some cases, people have come down with pneumonic or bubonic plague and died within 24 hours. In any event, you don't have weeks. Now, this young Marine, from the time that the disease symptoms made themselves really manifest, he was dead in 7 days. Now, when you get sick, you go to the doctor, he shoots you up with penicillin. By the time they figure out that the penicillin isn't working, or whatever antibiotic they're using isn't working, you will be at death's door. So you don't have a lot of time. Always tuck that one away in your heart. Now, the very success of antibiotics accounts for part of the resistance problem, argues Julian Davies of the University of British Columbia. The life-saving drugs have changed the way diseases have been treated. It's not only that they are sometimes used to treat viral infections against which they are impotent. Let me point this out. You get a cold or you get the flu and you go to the doctor and he gives you a shot of antibiotics. Let me read this to you again, children. It's not only that they are sometimes used to treat viral infections against which they are impotent. It's also that they are used as props when safer methods, think of sanitation or quarantine, might be preferable. Now, here's a doctor comes along and says, look, let's be intelligent people. You know, you got this young mother, and these young mothers are about as dumb as a box of rocks, and they have babies. Biologically, they can produce babies. And then after they have a baby, they've got a clue as to what the hell to do with it. So they rush down to the store and they buy Infamil or Similac or something there to feed it with rather than breast milk. Ladies, you already came equipped with the proper equipment to feed the baby. It's called breast milk. All right, so then they feed this kid the Similac over here, which has 12 essential vitamins and minerals and is missing about 94 others. The 94 that it is missing causes the baby to become undernourished. He doesn't have the essential vitamins, minerals, and thingies like enzymes that he needs, and so he develops some kind of a sickness. An opportunistic bacteria comes in. So you're rushing to the doctor, and the doctor shoots this kid up with penicillin or something else. Oftentimes, it's viral in nature, and penicillin or antibiotics have no effect on viruses. They only work against bacteria. Well, I guess they work against fungi and molds, but they don't work on viruses, which is probably what your kid's got. Now, why does the doctor, who's been to medical school, give you this antibiotic? Because the doctor's got house payments and boat payments and bills to pay just like you and I do. And he has to make a living. And he makes his living selling antibiotics. He's a drug pusher. You know, just like Joe down on the corner is selling cocaine and marijuana. He's got a wife and kids and a patch of grass and a mortgage to pay, just like all the rest of us. He's out hustling a buck, trying to make his bills, trying to pay his payments. That's why they're selling it to you. They're selling it to you because you're ignorant and don't know, and you're willing to buy, and he needs the money. So it's time to wake up. Now, you know, if you don't care and you want to buy penicillin, go buy it. Hell, I'm not telling you not to buy it. I'm just telling you it's no value to you. And it could kill you, because what will happen here is that you'll get sick and you'll rush off to the hospital. Hospitals are dangerous places to go because hospitals are filled with these antibiotic resistance disease pathogens. They develop, they breed, and they're all over the hospital. The hospital is the last place you want to go. Hell, Joe's meat market is cleaner than the hospital. I mean, you know, you're out here butchering. I killed a big steer here the other day, and I had a couple of guys from the city that were coming, they came to school here, they want to learn how to do that, and so we're killing this animal out here, and they're just covered with flies. You know, blood and dead meat attracts flies. And these people are from the city. They were just appalled at all these flies. And I said, why are you appalled? It's a natural process. It's a natural phenomenon. And where there's blood, where there's a dead animal, there will be flies. Of course, you know, when we do this in a slaughterhouse, you know, we keep the flies outside. And we bring this diseased carcass in here, you know, maybe it's got tumors all over it. And we're cutting all these tumors up and we're sticking those in your meat. That's okay. But God, protect us from a fly, huh? Now, there's a natural process that goes on in life. And bacteria are a natural part of that process. E. coli is a natural part of life. That's why you have an immune system. That's why you need this immune system. You do not need antibiotic. But since we have become dependent upon these antibiotics, and because of our culture, because you've been taught to feed your kid this Similac and Infamil, because you've been taught that when you've got an earache, you rush to the doctor who gives you a shot of penicillin, and you know, it's kind of like old Granny used to kiss your hurts. You know, you fall off your bicycle, you're crying, and Granny says, well, come over and let me kiss your hurt. That's what people do today. They go to the doctor so the doctor can kiss their hurt. Granny's kiss didn't do jack diddly squat for your hurt. And psychologically, it did. You know, made you feel good. Psychologically, when you go to the doctor, it makes you feel good. Physically, doesn't do jack diddly for you. Now, the experts are sounding the alarm about antibiotic resistance because of grim new evidence. Resistance happens quickly. Underline the word quickly, quickly. This resistance happens quickly. In parallel with the use of antibiotics, an 11-year study of cancer patients at a hospital in Switzerland, see the 428-94 New England Journal of Medicine, found that no strains of E. coli, a common intestinal bacteria that can be pathogenic, resisted any of the fluoroquinolone antibiotics between 1983 and 1990. But between 1991 and 93, 28% of the strains tested were resistant to all five of them during the study period. The percentage of patients getting antibiotics rose from 1.4% to 45%. These are gigantic numbers here, kids. And this goes back to 1994. So we're talking about, 12 years ago. This is a repeat now. This is the second report now that we got from Lucerne, Switzerland on this report. And the numbers are all bad and getting worse. Now, these antibiotics, the number of people rose from 1.4% to 45%. You got more and more people taking these antibiotics and getting poor and poor results. And one of these days it's going to fail. And when it fails, then what are you going to do? That's your problem. Now, under a new National Institute of Health grant, scientists have begun examining whether harmless bacteria carry resistance genes and then transmit them to pathogens. And already it's thought that the bacterium, influenza, which causes ear infections, gained resistance to the antibiotic ampicillin during a gene transfer from E. coli during the 1970s. Now, why would a harmless bacterium acquire such resistance? Because any organism exposed to antibiotics faces the same selective pressure that causes pathogens to become antibiotic resistant. One leader of the new research group, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign microbiologist Abigail Salyers, said resistance can lurk undetected in harmless organisms. She called the presence of resistance in pathogens the tip of the iceberg compared to what's out there in the environment. She called it the tip of the iceberg. All right, now this isn't a problem to me. I'm not sitting here beating my gums trying to persuade or convince all you people out there that you need to avoid antibiotics, because I really don't care. I don't get paid, for persuading you that I'm right and you're wrong. I get paid for delivering information. Now I've delivered the information. And then I went a step further and I said, now where do you get the information? And this comes from yfiles.org. Now this week, in this series of programs, I've probably presented here, let's just count them up here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7, 7, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, I got 10 reports. 10. I haven't even covered all the reports. But in the reports that I have covered, I pointed out to you that this reliance upon these antibiotics is going to kill a lot of people. It's already killing a lot. Last program I reported back in 68, some people got a very simple, everybody gets this, diarrhea. Have you ever had diarrhea? Did you know that diarrhea can kill you? Did you know that? All right, well, in case you didn't know, diarrhea can kill you. Not very often. Most of us in our lifetimes will get diarrhea. And I reported that down in Guatemala or someplace down south of the border here that 12,000 some people got diarrhea. So, when the diarrhea got real bad, which sometimes it does, it gets real bad, you have to go to the doctor. When it gets so bad that you're just near death, they went to the doctor. Okay, well, now what's happened here is that the pathogens that caused the diarrhea have multiplied in such prodigious numbers that your immune system can't keep up with them, and they're getting ahead, and if they continue to multiply faster than your white corpuscles, they're going to overwhelm your body, and you're going to die. That's the bottom line. What are we going to do to solve that problem? We're going to go to the doctor, and he's going to give us a shot of antibiotics. So these 12,000 people, now probably 100,000 people went in, and 12,000 of them died, because out of the antibiotics available in 1968, out of those antibiotics available, four of the antibiotics, the disease pathogen, this diarrhea disease pathogen, was resistant to the antibiotic, and so the antibiotic didn't work, and because it didn't work, these people went on to die. All right. That's the tip of the iceberg. That's just one case where 12,000 people died. It goes on all the time. 90,000 people a year here in America die from this antibiotic resistance. Now, there's 130,000 people that die, and they admit to this, say, from iatrogenic disease. All right, so now you've got another pathogen. You have another vehicle. You go to the hospital, and the doctor may kill you, or he may not save you because of these antibiotic-resistant strains of some kind of disease pathogen over here. All right, so now remember, you can get some of these yourself. I mean, just plug it in. Antibiotics, do a search. If you want to get kind of serious about it, do a search on Google and come up, plug in antibiotic resistance and see how many articles or how many sources there are. There's quite a few. Quite a few. And we've known about this for at least 50 years. I think I've known about this since I was a teenager. And of course, it just gets a little bit worse year by year by year. And the solution has always been, well, come up with a new antibiotic. Come up with a new antibiotic. Well, unfortunately, there are just so many combinations out there. And every one of these authorities is telling us, hey, we're reaching the end of the line. And boys and girls, when we get to the end of this line over here, this thing is going to get bloody and nasty. Real bloody and real nasty. That's the bad news. Now, are people going to turn to healing oils of the Bible? Absolutely not. Nobody's going to do that. No doctor is going to sit there and tell you that there's another solution over here that's cheap and effective. They're not going to explain that to you. Hell, they don't even know it themselves. How could they tell you? Nobody's going to tell you about colloidal silver or raw garlic or colostrum. They'll go on, they'll say, well, we've got to develop something new. We got to march in the parade. We got to give more money. We got to go to the government and get the government to give more money to research. which is totally ineffective and doesn't solve the problem. And hell, I'm not opposed to research. Get right after it. If you want to go research and find a cure to cancer, get after it. I've already reported, though, that there's already 10 cures. If you've already got 10 cures to cancer, why do you need an 11th, 12th, or 13th? Why don't you use what you got? Well, because if we used what we've got, it's cheap and effective. And we can't do that because cancer is a $500 billion a year industry. And it makes so much money, we don't want people using those cheap and effective modalities. Which, again, you know, it goes back to the Bible. And the Bible is politically incorrect. We can't use the Bible because it isn't politically correct. It doesn't fit in with our modality and our lifestyle. All right, so that may end up getting you bumped off or getting you hurt. Here's one more over here. He says, under a new National Institute of Health grant, scientists have begun examining whether harmless bacteria carry resistant genes. She said it's the tip of the iceberg. It's widespread. In Atlanta, a 1994 study of infections caused by Streptococcus pneumonia found that 25% of 431 patients had a bug that resisted penicillin. Now, that's 25% had a bug. They had some kind of a germ. 25%. Now, it probably is just about as true nationwide or worldwide. About 25% of the people now have some kind of a bug on your body, on your person, in your gut that is resistant to antibiotics. Well, that's one out of four, isn't it? Now, I told you here in Revelation chapter 6 that there's a big dying off coming. About 1.5 billion people are going to die from war, famine, and disease. And you got this directly from God himself. Now, this is a guy that says, this is what I'm going to do. And I would suspect that antibiotics are going to play a vital role in that event. So tuck it away in your heart. All right, now I'm about out of time, so I'm going to have to remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet, and for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these law or programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.